Advent is the liturgical season in which we prepare for the coming of our Lord. Now, that seems very obvious to us. And we think of it as that preparation for Christmas. And we aren't wrong for the preparing for the Nativity in the Advent season. But we're only a third right, in a way. We are preparing for the coming of our Lord and the threefold coming of Christ. St. Bernard tells of us of the threefold coming of Christ. He says, in the first coming, he comes in the flesh and in weakness. In the second coming, he comes in spirit and power. In the third, he comes in glory and majesty. In these three comings of Christ, he fulfills three different offices which he has as the Son of God. The first is the office of the Redeemer. Christ comes on Christmas morn, becomes man, is born into the flesh, takes on our image, and it becomes just like unto us in all things except for sin. Because he is to pay the price for sin. He is to die on the cross. He is to be the Redeemer by that first coming and fulfill that office. The second office that he fulfills is that of mediator. And this is in the second coming spoken of by St. Bernard, which is the coming to us that he comes to us each and every single day. That he comes and dwells within us in our souls, as he promised in the scriptures. That he comes to us in the form of, under the veil of bread and wine at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and comes to dwell within us in that corporal form there upon the altar. That daily coming unto us is that coming in the way of spirit and power to perform the role of mediator. He comes to us because he wants to be with us each day. He comes to us by his own power to be in that species of the Holy Eucharist. He comes to us in spirit to dwell in our souls, to sanctify us, to strengthen us, and to go to the Father on behalf of us. The third office that Christ fulfills is the office of judge. And this he does in that third coming that St. Bernard talks about, in glory and in majesty. He comes before us, stands there in all of his splendor, and there he pronounces judgment upon our souls. Each and every one of us is judged for our lives. And it's this last one that the gospel today speaks of. It speaks specifically of the general judgment at the end of the world. Now, when we think of judgment and the judgment of our souls, our minds immediately go to the particular judgment. Each one of us understands that much more simply, much easier, in a way, because it is very straightforward. We know that I live my life, and at the moment of my death, I will find myself standing before Christ, my judge. And he will look over the entirety of my life. He will see all of the good things I have done, the virtues that I have practiced, the sacraments I have received. And he will weigh them in contrast to all of the sins of my life as well. And he will pass judgment. Did I die in a state of sanctifying grace? Have I made enough reparation for my sins? Have I saved my soul? That's my particular judgment. It takes place immediately following my death. And it takes place immediately following every single one of our deaths. It awaits us all in the end. We understand that easily. Yet, there is a second judgment that takes place. We know it. We believe it. But oftentimes, we don't really understand it. That which is spoken of in today's gospel, the general judgment at the end of the world. What takes place at the general judgment, and why do we have another judgment that happens? The general judgment does a couple of things. First off, it's a judgment that takes place of our bodies reunited again with our souls. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. It's part of our creed. It is part of what every Catholic is required to believe. It is the very reason why we treat bodies with respect after death has occurred, because of the fact that we know one day, at the end of the time, our bodies will rise up and join our souls again. And it's at that point, it's judged again. Because I am a composite being. My whole life I spend union of body and soul. And so every action that I do is completed both in body and in soul. Every virtue that I practice, every act of good that I commit, my body takes part in that too. Every prayer I say is uttered from my lips. Every communion I receive is received upon my tongue and taken into my interior. Every act of charity I do is done with my hands. Every good thing I do, my body partakes in. At the same time, every sin that I commit, my body partakes in that as well. And this is why, if you ever have the opportunity to see the sacrament of extreme unction being given, all of the different anointings take place. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the lips, the hands and the feet, marking the senses, marking the ways in which our bodies participate in the sins that we've committed in our lives, and asking for forgiveness for all of those things. And so as such, being that our soul was judged at our particular judgment, at the end of time with the resurrection of the body, it is only fitting it too joins in being judged. The second thing that happens, the reason the general judgment, is that now it is a public judgment that takes place. At our deaths, our judgment is between us and God. We stand before him. He looks to us. He passes his sentence. Yet, in the end of the world, all of creation stands there before the judge. And they all witness and they all hear his judgment passed on each individual that comes forth. Why? Because in that, we see the perfection of God in a much more perfect light. We see his goodness magnified before our eyes. We understand all of that of his will for us in life and in death, placed before us by every judgment he makes. Because in that, we glorify God. In that, every time we see one of the members saved, one of them going to their eternal reward in heaven, glorify God for his mercy, having forgiven them their sins, having brought them up to sanctifying grace. And in every person that loses their souls, we glorify God the more for his justice. Because truly, every opportunity was afforded to them, and again they denied our Lord. And so they choose their own end, and Christ, in justice, gives it to them. What doesn't happen in the last judgment is a switching of ends. Those who are saved are not damned, and those who are damned are not saved. Rather, it is a revelation for all to see and all to glorify God for his goodness. Why does the church present us with this, the general judgment, on this the first week of Advent? Well, it's because Advent is that season of preparation. The world around us is what confuses us in that realization. The attitude of worldlings is what, even if we try our best to avoid, it does seep in little ways. We can't help but think towards Christmas in this time of Advent and kind of jump ahead a little bit, if you will. Yet, to do so too much kind of skips over and misses the point of Advent. It is that season of preparation for the coming of Christ. We prepare every day for the coming of Christ. When he comes as judge, we prepare for that in our lives. Every day, or at least we should be preparing for that every day in our lives, because we don't know the day or the time in which we shall meet our judge. But every day we pray. Every day we do penance. We try to make reparation for our sins. We try to do little things to strengthen our soul, our will, in order to avoid temptation. Every day we ask God to assist us in our lives in order that we may serve and love him more by our prayers. So we prepare for that general judgment, that third coming of Christ. We also prepare for the coming of Christ in our daily lives as mediator. We do this regularly. Think about it when you come to church. What do you do, or what should you do anyways? You're coming to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. You come before Mass and you do prayers of preparation for Mass. You come and you have sacrificed in order to receive him well. You have gone through with the Eucharistic fast beforehand, the 3 hours from food and the 1 hour from liquid, in order that you may be ready to receive him into your body. A small little sacrifice, but a sacrifice nonetheless. And then in return, in that regard of him dwelling with us spiritually, we prepare for him regularly. We pray. We ask him to intercede for us. We ask him to give us all of the graces that we need. We ask him to help us to strengthen our soul. And we sacrifice. We give of our own will to better follow his will for us. And it's the same for us in the celebration of Advent season in preparation for his first coming, that of the Nativity. Because we pray during Advent, and we make sacrifices. It's a penitential season. And we do so not because he hasn't already come to Bethlehem, not because he hasn't already laid down in that crib or not already died upon the cross, but because we prepare ourselves to share in the fruits of the act of that redemption. To share in the fruits and the purpose of his coming, that the salvation of our souls. And so in that spirit, that same mode of preparation, we make a good Advent of prayer and sacrifice, so we may rejoice wholeheartedly on that glorious day of the 25th, in that coming of the redemption of mankind. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.